Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous podcast number 4. This podcast will focus on individual stories of recovery. Throughout this podcast, we'll be referring to Overeaters Anonymous by its acronym, OA.
Joining us today is Overeaters Anonymous member Bob. Now, welcome to the program, Bob.
Thanks.
So tell us, Bob, how long have you been a member of OA?
About 12 years.
And tell us the first time you went to OA, if you can remember it.
Well, the first time I went to OA was with my wife at the time. And it seemed like something that I didn't need at the time because I was in real good shape. At the time, I didn't need to lose any weight. But I've always been somebody who had eaten a lot and was exercising a lot at the time and was the kind of person that always thought about the next meal. And the more I listened to what people said there, the more I understood, or I felt like I had an addiction since as long as I can remember. So after a couple of meetings, I really understood that it was my primary addiction. I have other addictions too, but this one was the first addiction I had in my life.
So you went there as a support person?
In a way, yes. Initially, and in fact, she's not even in the program anymore, but I continue to go into meetings because I know that was that really, for me, was a first way of kind of escaping as a little kid and getting away from things was to eat. And I was a little husky in middle school, but after I started growing and playing sports, I lost a lot of that weight. But it was something I just was kind of, I had two addictions. I exercised a lot and then I ate a lot. And as I got older and I quit doing my other addictions, the only one that was left was food.
Tell us how OA has helped shape your perception of food.
Well, I mean, I still many times have compulsions to eat food. When I say food, I mean a lot of food and the wrong kinds of food. But it's less and less. And the thing that's really nice for me is I'm not thinking about food all the time. I'm not thinking about the next meal. I'm not thinking about what I could eat in front of other people. And for me, the addiction where I became really self-centered, it was hard for me to even develop relationships with people because I was always thinking about the food. And a lot of my addiction comes from the inability to have relationships or to develop good relationships. And this program has done more than worked on my weight and my food obsession. It's allowed me to learn how to deal with people and how to, you know, get along in the world.
Tell us about the 12-step program in OA and how that's helped you.
Well, the thing that's nice about the 12 steps is that there's suggestions. Nobody's telling me what to do. I've always had a hard time with authority, and I wasn't willing. I'd never been a part of any kind of group where I was told that these were the things that you had to believe. The words higher power are mentioned in one of the 12 steps, but it's you're feeling what a higher power is. It's not a certain church. It's not a certain religion. It's not any religion at all if you don't want it to be. I knew I was on my own to deal with that any way I wanted to. So I didn't feel like anybody was jamming that down my throat. And that was just really important because although I knew I had problems with my food, I sure wasn't willing to listen to anybody. And the thing that's nice about the meetings is, too, is you go to the meetings and there's not people suggesting things to you or telling you what you ought to do. You go there and you talk about what's going on with you, and there's nobody saying, well, you should do this or you should do that. And I find that a real safe environment. Some people come to this program and think, well, gosh, you know, what can I eat? What can't I eat? Where's my diet plan? What do I have to eat every meal? And if that's what somebody needs, we're the wrong place to go. You have to work with yourself, and you can always ask people for suggestions, but you decide what foods you should eat, how much, etc. And that kind of steps, the 12 steps, was really fitting for the way I guess I am. And there's a lot of addicts out there, or compulsive overeaters, that just have a hard time with authority. And they can weigh 350 pounds or they could weigh 90 pounds, but they still don't like people telling them what to do. And I find that really nice about this program.
Have you tried any other programs?
When it comes to food, just my own program, and that was a lot of exercise sometimes. It was a lot of overeating sometimes. There's a lot of eating by myself. One thing I think that's really important to this program is that eventually you come to a point where you realize that I can't control my eating. Now, when I say that, there's been many times in my life when I have controlled my eating for a short period of time, but I was never, ever able to control my eating for a long period of time. And even when I did control my eating for a short period of time and I was in good shape and I was at a good weight, I was still crazy in my head. I was still obsessive, compulsive, and had some other things. And again, I think this program really teaches me that my eating is this a symptom of what's going on in my head? I mean, if there was an operation to my stomach, which I know there's some of those things right now, it still wouldn't help me because I still have my brain, unfortunately or fortunately.
Tell us about the support group that you get through OA.
Okay, well, I think a lot of times people in OA don't quite feel comfortable calling it a support group, but it's for me, it's a very safe place. And again, unlike support groups, there's nobody that comes up to me and tells me what to do. There's no strict rules. The thing that's really nice is going to those meetings and knowing that there's other people that have the same difficulties I have. And a lot of the meetings I go to, there are bulimics, anorexia. Of course, there's overweight, compulsive overeating, I should say. I kind of felt like I was one of the only people, especially as a guy, to have a food addiction. And it was just really nice going there and meeting with people that had the same difficulties, were working through the same things. And again, like I said three or four times, it was just a real safe environment. I go in there, kind of tell people how I feel, what's going on with me, and I could go out there and deal with the rest of the world. And that's one thing that's nice about this program. It helps me deal with people outside the program. It tries to make me participate or tries to help me participate out there. And there's a lot of times when I wasn't participating out there. I was eating by myself. I didn't want to go certain places because of that. And this program gets me out there. You know, since I've gotten into this program, I've been able to, you know, a lot of good things have happened in my life. And I'm not talking about money necessarily, although my money is better than it ever has been. But relationships, I have kids now. I have a long-term marriage. And, you know, I've changed careers. I got a new career, and it's a good life, and I feel a lot more serene than I ever have.
Tell us what a typical OA meeting might look like for you.
You know, the typical OA meeting is, I would guess for some newcomers, would be kind of weird. And I don't mean necessarily negative, but we usually end up like in the bottom of a church or in some office complex, you know, the basement area. And, you know, there's nothing fancy. There's no decorations. There'll probably just be a little booklet in the front of the person who's running the meeting. And the person who runs the meeting can be absolutely anybody. There's no presidents. There's no vice presidents. There's no secretaries. It's the most disorganized, organized program in the world, which, again, I like. And you just go in there, and usually somebody reads something out of the book, sometimes out of a book that we have, maybe two or three paragraphs. And then people can talk about those two or three paragraphs, or they can talk about absolutely anything they want to. And then people just go around the room and share if they want to, and usually talk 2 or 3 minutes apiece at the most. And then at the end of an hour, we all get up, and, you know, usually we're friends or whatever, and we talk for a little bit after that, and that's it. Again, it's no high pressure. There's very few rules. You know, if you're looking for fancy decor and ambiance, you're probably not going to find that at an OA meeting. But the people there, when they talk about the things they're having and the issues with the foods, I can relate to it.
You've mentioned, and we've also heard from other members, why you feel safe and secure in these meetings and able to share. Tell us why you think that is.
Well, I think that I think for a lot of people and for myself, especially as a guy, I didn't feel that thrilled about being a food addict. I thought that I was one of the few weird people or something like that that had this addiction, and it was nice to go in a place where I was around people that had the same addiction. And when I go to those meetings, first of all, one of the traditions of OA is that whatever is heard in the meeting stays in the meeting. Again, it's always full of people, and we all make mistakes, but in general, 99% of the stuff I say in those meetings will never, ever leave those rooms. That's real important because if I go in there and I talk about what's going on with me, the last thing I need is somebody leaving that meeting and sharing it with other people. And, you know, it's amazing. OA is like a lot of 12-step programs where you go in there and every meeting is different, but there'll be people you know in around the city. And so when you go there, you may see somebody you know professionally, and you don't need that what you share in a meeting outside that meeting. The most meetings I go to, I could really trust those people. I go in there and tell them exactly what's going on, and I could hear what they have to say, and I know it's going to stay there. That's a real important thing. I don't feel that kind of security in the other environments I'm in.
Tell us one thing that OA has given you.
For me, it's giving my mind back. I mean, I've got a lot of stuff going on, like everybody else does, but I spent so much of my day thinking about the next meal or obsessing about something or somebody. It's given me time to have serenity, to enjoy other people. I've got 3 kids now, and I could not only be physically present with them, but I could be emotionally and mentally present with my kids. I could be there for other people in relationships. When I'm with somebody else, my mind is there. My mind's not thinking about other things. And, you know, I have a lot more self-esteem. Again, you know, I make a lot of mistakes. I'm always learning. But I believe in myself. I know I could. I'm a relatively good person. And probably the last and probably most important thing is I feel like I'm a lot less self-centered. And again, I'm not perfect in that area by any means, but I can think of other people and I could care for them and I could do appropriate things and care for other people, which is definitely a change for me.
That's great. Anything else you'd like to add?
The last thing I have to say is that OA is it's probably not for everybody. There's a lot of different ways to deal with food. But for me and for a lot of people, they actually have a food addiction where it's become a compulsive nature. To me, this is the only way to deal with it. And for me, it has dealt with my weight, but more importantly, it's allowed me to be a participant in the world.
Well, thanks for sharing, Bob. We really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us for this podcast. For more information on Overeaters Anonymous, please go to www.oa.org or call the World Service Office in the United States at area code 505-891-2664.